Welcome to Sources from the Sofa, Thanksgiving edition. We have a special guest, my daughter. She wanted to join the pod. She might give some takes on the Steelers. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
At her, she's going to give some Dodger takes on Blake Snell. Or
yeah, she's starting to like the Dodgers and the Steelers, but one team at a time, I guess. What a great signing, by the way. I did not see that coming. I didn't think that they were on the radar. I thought maybe Atlanta might be leading the case or Boston Red Sox. I know they were leading it, maybe Mets, Yankees, Baltimore. I mean,
re-signing with your hometown Giants was the original thing. There was a tweet out that went soon after the season that he was expected to re-sign with the Giants, and obviously that was a freezing cold take.
Yeah, well, with Buster Posey taking over for baseball operations, like that was like a must sign to kind of get things going because the previous GM just kind of fell flat, but that's a big loss for them, man. I kind of feel bad because I really like the games up here, but tickets are going to be cheap if they don't do anything else.
And the Giants generally always find a way to get around. I mean, haven't been as successful, but they've whiffed in free agency. You know, they made a huge push for Judge when he was a free agent. You know, I haven't really heard them being serious contenders for Soto, but I mean, they haven't been for a lack of wanting to get out, spend some money, and do some stuff. But the Dodgers right now is just, hey, they're gonna get everybody, and you know is it a dream team type thing where everyone wants to be part of it? And they're doing some very interested creative accounting down for the Dodgers with all these deferred contracts and everything.
I'm not a big fan of all this deferred money. Like, what does this mean in 10, 15 years? Like, no one's gonna add. You know,
I mean,
at some point.
There's a lot of interesting things, like, you know, obviously the Dodgers here being in California, there's a lot of like tax implications and stuff like that. I've seen just random stuff, how credible it is around like how, you know, the Dodgers could put this money in the side and how it gains interest and backdates, and you know, it could, you know, if they put $300 million and gain interest on it, how much is it worth in 10 years when they have to pay like the Ohtani contract, for example? But
what devalues it, I guess, considerable with inflation.
Yeah, you have inflation. They can gain money off that money in the meantime. But I mean, it's interesting, but I think there is a lot of, you know, I saw some different baseball experts and some different other platforms just talking through like the next collective bargaining agreement. And these are the type of things that come up with like the other owners and how, you know, how this is really, you know, sitting well with the other owners who, you know, aren't as aggressive in free agency, because there's probably going to be a contingent of owners who want to, you know, suppress player salary. I saw some reports even talking about like the next conversation is going to be the owners wanting a salary cap or a salary floor.
The salary CBA. Floor
and the next CBA, which, you know, basically they're saying, hey, that leads, you know, potentially is probably a strike from the player side because the players are not going to agree to a salary cap, which, I mean, a cap is one thing for me. I push for the salary floor because when you look
at
it,
at least, yeah, look at the A's. Yeah, look at teams like that. Billionaire owners that don't want to do anything. They're just cashing out.
100%. And that's where, like, you know, and I know you said we'll get to baseball later, but that's where the takes of like the future and health of baseball, like, you know, if I'm a Dodgers fan like you and everybody else, like, hey, this is a dream, man. Hot Stove League is me. I'm getting a Cy Young winner. I'm getting an MVP in free agency almost every year. I'm adding stuff. This is great for Dodger fans and maybe, you know, Mets and Yankees fans. But when you talk about the A's or the Marlins.
I like Bueller. You know, I like Walker. I want us to keep him. I do like Flaherty, you know. I want us to keep him too. So it's kind of like, I don't know who was on the radio. I just only caught a little bit, you know, today. But the Dodgers, they don't actually fall in love with too many of their own players. They just, it's a business decision. And I don't know.
It is, but they've kept Kershaw, you know. Kershaw's been around there and they kept him. And but yeah, the other guys is true because, you know, they let Seager walk. They let, you know, Justin Turner they let walk.
Turner.
And so they've done different things where they've found different players. And I think that's the strength of the Dodgers, as much as I can maybe have some hot takes if they do with the free agency and contracts. Like, they do develop well. We've talked that in different pods. Like, they develop internal talent, and they always have a good farm system for a team that's always, you know, top in the league. So, but I mean, going back to like the floor aspect for salaries, yeah, you brought up the A's, the Marlins, the Rays, you know, other teams. Ooh. That are just, you know, the Pirates.
Rays, what are they going to do with their stadium? They're in deep shit.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be playing in a minor league stadium, and that's really part of the overall health of baseball. Like, you know, there's a lot of reports coming out of the season, like the Major League Baseball overall, like from a marketing perspective, had one of their biggest years ever from a revenue side and marketing. So, hey, you know, they're going to trump it, like fan interest is up, you know, money's being up. But you have two teams in baseball playing in Major League Baseball playing in minor league stadiums next year. The Rays and the A's are be playing in minor league stadiums. Yeah. And neither of those teams really has a new stadium on the horizon in the next couple of years. The Vegas deal is still kind of floating out there.
It's still tentative.
Yeah, there's nothing guaranteed. And then the Rays, you know, the Rays owners have a big decision on, do they make the repairs to the stadium because of the hurricane, or but they really don't want to because they want a new stadium in, you know, whether it's Tampa or St. Petersburg.
So I think they already have a stadium in place to get started in like 2 years. So the city briefly approved the renovations, but then they decided to renege on that. So they're not going through, like, I think it's going to be like $25 or $27 million to renovate the stadium. It's going to take a full season to do it, but the Rays are only going to stay there for one more season past that. So they're like, you know, screw it. Let's just maybe empty out of that. But I guess it kind of puts things in limbo for their new stadium too. I don't know. I haven't read too much in detail, but that's it's nuts. I don't know how – I've never heard of it. Of a pro team, I guess, at least in our lifetime, being in this much limbo between home stadiums like the A's and then now the Rays.
The only one in recent memory was in the NHL, was the former Arizona Phoenix Coyotes. You know, they, you know, were playing in a, they're based in a college arena the past were couple they? Seasons down in Arizona. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. So they were playing at an arena, you know, I went to one time, and they really never found, you know, the financial security in there. And now, you know, they moved out of Arizona. They're up in Utah now with, you know, the owner of the Jazz, who I think we talked about in the season opening, like really is making, trying to make a market out there, which is a cool place for hockey. And they're going to try to grow the game in Utah, but yeah it was the same
records.
Yep. So it was, yeah. Well, you know, if it's available somewhere in the state of Utah, it had to be at a sporting event. So
why not? Makes sense. Yeah.
But that Arizona hockey franchise, you know, was in the similar thing playing in a below arena, and they're never going to dig themselves away out of it. And that's just the current level of pro sports right now for a stadium perspective. All of these owners want public money, and I think there's just less and less interest coming.
It's over. Yeah. Yeah.
When you look at it, they may not be the last one. There's probably some other stuff, but the Florida Marlins or Miami Marlins, whatever you're going to call them, when they got that new stadium and how much they got the taxpayers in Florida to build them the new stadium for a team that basically draws like nothing down in Miami, like that turned into, you know, and Miami's got some questionable like politicians and shadiness going down in local government down there as what? It is. So
no way. Not no. in Florida.
But I mean,
sounds
I
like Oakland.
Yeah, I mean, but Oakland, for their part, they were never going to, you know, do the public money for, you know, some of these stadiums, which is unfortunate because they lost good teams like the A's and even kind of the Raiders, you know, to a degree because they wouldn't do that. But, you know, these franchises are worth billions of dollars. The owners who own these teams are worth billions of dollars, and asking taxpayers to pay it, you know, is, you know, it's unrealistic for considering every other problem that, you know, cities and states and in the entire U.S. have. And, hey, well, I'm going to get this gift from taxpayers to build you a stadium. You know, we talked about my Bears and White Sox. Like, you got two owners trying to get, you know, some sort of public backing to build the Bears a new stadium that they're going to a bunch of different sites. And the White Sox are trying to get the same thing. And I don't, you know, the governor of Illinois is basically saying no to both of them, kind of figure it out. But, you know, they're going to try to play the, you know, cities against each other stuff to try to get that built.
I heard a crazy take the other day. First, besides the teams that we just mentioned about no stadium, it was also the Oklahoma City Thunder. They were playing in another arena, right? Or they're playing in New Orleans, or where are they playing at before they finally settled into Oklahoma and into that new arena?
I thought they just moved straight from Seattle. When they had the Supersonics, they moved straight into Seattle.
I could have sworn they were like temporarily somewhere else.
Was it? Nah,
was
it
the Pelicans?
So. The Pelicans may have been because when they were during
one of those hurricane.
Yeah, maybe during Hurricane Katrina or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't remember. I don't remember them, but
I totally lost my train of thought, but we'll have to come back to this at the beginning of the baseball season because I definitely want to dig deeper. I found some really cool stuff that kind of links all the A's stuff out. This was like they purposely sabotaged Oakland and this started back with Bud Selig 30 years ago. And I kind of want to do, I want to go into that. I want to go into your White Sox ownership as well. I just want to do like a special on shady bat ownerships and maybe pump out something cool like that.
Yeah, let's definitely do it. I know we talked a little bit, both of those owners, you know, one of our earlier pods this year when we were deep into football season on September, on, you know, how both of those two owners particularly have just, you know, really nuked the fan bases that they've been around and, you know, had these long-term plans on how to get stadiums and stuff. So yeah, that'd be a good thing to kind of look back on, as, you know, a lot of these franchises are kind of in limbo right now and really have no shot of winning. But props to the Dodgers, though.
Props to the Dodgers. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. Wow, what a random MLB pod in the middle of fall, or winter, rather. You catch that, Amelia? No? All right. And by the way, you're getting pretty heavy, man. My legs are beat right now. I'm trying to move her over, but she's... I did leg day the other day, and like, what a bad mistake. Like, I'm feeling it right now. Just solid 60 pounds plus, I think. So we don't have Aaron today, obviously. He's MIA. I'm assuming visiting his parents up in Oxnard around there. So it's just going to be us two, just doing the Lions.
Yeah. Got a big Thanksgiving slate, you know, three games. There's a game on Friday, too, this week, which should be interesting.
I just saw that. Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's get underway then. NFL Lions for week 13. I'm not a big fan, by the way, of any of the games tomorrow. And now that I remember it, I kind of tend to like just kind of doze out, or I end up cooking in the kitchen anyways, because I'm putting out someone else's fire, you know, for Thanksgiving dinner. But we start off with your Bears. Speaking of fires, Bears and Lions, 9:30. Oh, man.
9:30 a.m.
It might be a long day for some people.
It could be in the city of Chicago. It could be a great day for Detroit as they continue kind of their march of being, you know, top of the NFC. Big spread in this game. I think I saw +9.5 for the Bears. So it opened to 10.5, though, I think, for -10.5 for the Lions, though. So it's moved down a little bit. Obviously, the Bears have played some close games here recently against some division foes. So, but it'll be an interesting, I would say, out of the three games, yeah, the first two games, probably not so much. The night game, Dolphins-Packers, I think both teams have a lot to play for in that game. We got the Dolphins are trying to, they need to really be on this run to be able to get in the playoffs and try to get into that seventh seed. Them at 5-6 right now, they're still within striking distance. The Packers, you know, 8-3, but they're third in the division. So, you know, all these games kind of mean something for their kind of playoff slotting. And if they really want to host, and if they want to host a home game for the playoffs, they really need to put wins together, because it's going to have to be a, you know, it may take 12 wins at this point for some of these to try to get a home playoff game, or else, you know, the Packers might be like the sixth seed at like 11-6.
Maybe. That'd be really crazy to see. Bears, I do see it now. It's kind of changed a little bit. So -9.5 for the Lions.
Yeah,
with
it's
an
a big
over-under is, what is over-under?
I see at 47.5. I see 47.5. You know, it'll be really a tale kind of that the Lions offense versus Bears defense. I think if you're playing, you know, to some of the strengths of the team, Lions, most points scored in the NFL this season. You know, they covered the big spread last week.
Yeah.
The Bears, as good as their defense has been, and I think that's been kind of that the what Matt Eberflus has kept, you know, has hung his hat on as far as there. They've been really shaky and have lost in some games, you know, the past couple to a degree. I mean, they only gave up 20 versus the Packers, but you know, there has been some holes a little bit within the Bears defense, and this is going to be kind of an ultimate test for this high-powered Lions offense. On the flip side of the ball, you know, we talk about it every week. If I give you my Bears report, you know, the Bears offense has looked way better these last 2 weeks under the new offensive coordinator, Thomas Brown, and Caleb probably
Brown's
had his
great
best
job.
Great job. And Caleb probably had his best game was probably in London versus the Jaguars, but overall last week, I think you saw professional quarterback, elite quarterback throws from him both outside and inside the pocket. With that said,
who you got, man?
Man, I still think the Bears keep this close, plus 9.5. They were able to even with Justin Fields last year. We were able to have some really close games against the Lions, but I still think the Lions win this game, but the Bears cover.
All right, Bears cover. 9.5 is a lot. I'm really kind of curious if Detroit's kind of tries to rebound from their game last week because they didn't score as many points against a tough Colts defense that was, you know, swarming them pretty well. Chicago, I think, very similar, right? You got some players on that side as well. I think it might be pretty much close. I say Detroit wins at least by a touchdown, but I got the money line on this one at least. I don't think Detroit covers. The over-under, I would assume it's going to go over, but I think Detroit finally breaks out of their Thanksgiving slump this year. We'll see.
Yeah, the big thing looking at, you know, they got, I don't think there's look ahead in much for Detroit, but they do have a little bit of a tough, you know, the Bears obviously not considered a strength opponent, but they got the Packers next week, and then they're going to go versus Buffalo the week following. So they got a little bit of a stretch here due to the Lions, you know, interdivision game with Green Bay that can mean a lot, and then, you know, a really good team in Buffalo.
Yeah, that's really tough. Giants at Cowboys. Jesus, this is going to be an ugly game. -3.5 for the Cowboys. They came out playing last week. Slight favorites in this one. Giants, who are they going to play? I think Tommy Cutlets is injured. I haven't heard anything yet that I just heard that he's probably not playing. So does that mean Locke is coming in? Over under 37.5, not a lot. I actually think this goes over.
Really?
Yeah, I imagine it might be like a 28, not much, man, 28-21 game, something like that.
Well, I would say for us in the West Coast, this is a 1:30 start. This should be when everyone should start their Thanksgiving dinner and turn off the TV if they're going to have some family time, because I think this is a forgettable game to even pay attention to. I guess something has to give in this game. Cowboys 0-5 at home. Giants 0-6 away. So
they're both due.
One of these teams needs to break the curse as far as whether it's home versus away. Cowboys, the big win last week. The Giants look absolutely terrible. I saw a lot of Drew Lock stuff on X today, you know, hyping a Drew Lock game. I still think the Cowboys got the playmakers in this one to get enough. They did a little bit on offense last week. 3.5 is a little bit, man. The Cowboys that win this game, but I don't know that the Giants don't cover, keep it within a field goal if it's plus 3.5.
Yeah. This is like my general rule of like a stay away game.
Oh, I would put zero money on this game. So I will say it's stay away as well. If you're making me do picks, though, I think the game's so bad it's close.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'll be actually watching this like too much, but I will catch the next game though. The 5:20. Hopefully, I'm not too tired, and with like not too much champagne, right, Amelia? We got some champagne lined up. All right, so Packers 3.5 point favorites, over under 47.5. I think that's right in line. I think this might be a comfortable. Actually, it's going to be cold. It's going to be, I think, 28 degrees tomorrow. Freezing, frigid temperatures. Dolphins typically don't win in temperatures below 40. Green Bay has played pretty sloppy. According to Aaron, they're the second best team in the NFC, which is a pretty wild take to me. But he's not alone. I've heard other people have the same thing. But I think Pack win this. I'm not sure if they cover, but I'm going to go with the under. Actually, it's going to be too cold to score.
It is going to be cold. You are right. The Dolphins, their biggest thing is games in December, late in the year, January, in the cold weather. Hasn't traveled well. They really need this game, though. Romeo Dobbs out for the Packers. That came out earlier this week, so they'll be down, you know, one of their key wide receivers. I do not share Aaron's sentiment that this is the second best team in the NFC.
I don't either. I think that's pretty crazy.
I mean, record-wise, they're up there, but I think it's hard to argue right now that it isn't Lions-Eagles as top two teams in the NFC right now. So,
I'm going to see more than 10 games from Jordan Love before I start declaring him an elite quarterback, just like what everyone else has done. It's just a little absurd.
I tend to agree, Rome. Like, I think he got a lot of praise. he got a lot of praise for what he did. I mean, we're just bashing on last Aaron's year. Team while he's not here. Yeah. A lot of praise late last year, but, you know, was hurt this year early, you know, and even in the Bears game that they did win, wasn't overly impressive in the second half. The Bears really clamped down on him and they won by the blocked field goal. So,
We're hitting him with a steel chair when he's not looking right now.
That's true.
We'll let him know going behind in person.
I mean, I thought we did let him know, but
that we did, yeah.
But I mean, looking at the forecast, it's a high of 32. I'm looking at Green Bay right now.
We got
high of. Oh,
let's just spit him out.
I'm gonna take the Dolphins +3.5. Jeez. But I think the Packers still win money line.
All right, Friday,
the Black Friday game.
Black Friday, yeah, I kind of like it.
It's Black Friday. I think this one's on Prime. That's why they did the Black Friday. You know,
it is Raiders at the Chiefs. Chiefs are given 13 point favorites over under 42.5. This is a stay away for me. I don't like it. Maybe I'm just being optimistic about the Raiders doing something, but they look terrible.
Nah, the Raiders look terrible. This is an easy win for the Chiefs, or it should be an easy win for the Chiefs. What you're looking at, this is probably the huge spread at 13 points. Just a lot, but the Chiefs, I called it last week that they were going to win, but Carolina was going to cover. That was my big thing. The Chiefs play way too many close games.
That was nice.
13. Yeah, I mean, I almost feel the same way in this one. I think the difference is Minshew done for the season. You know, Aiden O'Connell is going to be starting. Aiden O'Connell is going to be starting. The Raiders lost by 7 to the Chiefs in their last meeting. So now you're talking, this is a 2-point loss, you know, a 2-point loss. They did get blown out at Miami a couple weeks ago. But the Chiefs just scare me what they can do offensively right now. And I just don't think they get over. So Chiefs win the game, but I'm going to put Raiders +13 and keep that thing around, just keeping the game close.
All right. No bye weeks. Everyone plays this week.
Yeah, everyone plays this week. Very interesting from the schedule that we have these every other bye weeks. There's still bye weeks, I think, next week.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. The first day of December, Texans at the Jags. Texans 4-point favorites. As the visiting team, over under 44 Sunday morning. That's an interesting line, actually.
Yeah.
Who's starting for quarterback for Jacksonville? I haven't had a chance to look that up yet.
Trevor Lawrence is ready to get back on the field.
He's back,
from,
huh?
The last thing seen. So. He's eyeing return. I don't know if he's officially cleared on this, though. Let me look at the injury report. Limited practice participant, so he's questionable.
Yeah.
So I think for the most part that probably means he's playing. The line started at -6.5 when I saw when it opened for Houston, now down to -4. Maybe that's the Trevor Lawrence effect. Houston really needs the bounce back win after a bad loss to the Titans last week to kind of, you know, really right the ship kind of where they're at. If it's down to 4, I'm still going to take the Texans -4 right now.
I'm leaning potential upset here. They should have fired Peterson on the bye week. They've had a bye week. If Lawrence is coming back, maybe it's just one of those bounce back games. First of the month, they got nothing to lose. Everyone's playing for like possibly like new auditions for a new team next year, new contracts, new jobs. I think Jacksonville lets it rip. I got them in the potential upset. That's my lean right now. All right. I'll update that on Twitter. Sunday morning, though. We'll see how it goes. Seattle at the Jets. Jeez, I don't even know why we cover this anymore. Seattle's favorite as the away team, over under 42.
Yeah, obviously Seattle's been better this year. You know, really tight division race with everyone pretty much is within a game after their victory last week. I think what not to like in this game is that old West Coast flying to East Coast. One of the longest flights going from Seattle to New York.
And Seattle's been up and down every other week. So the fact that they got a win last week, it kind of makes me nervous about this one. The Jets, they're dead fish in the water.
Yeah, they're saying Rodgers is going to play, though. So while he's not playing for the playoffs at this point, maybe he's proven to prove something here at this point. So I'm going to be honest. I like the Jets in this one.
Ooh.
I'll take that as my upset.
I'm kind of leaning towards the Jets as well. I'm not sure about the points. That's a really tricky line. This could be a 21-18 game, but the Jets haven't scored a lot either, though. You know, is this going to be like a 12-16 kind of game? That's what I'm leaning towards. I'll go the under as well. So just with the points, at least, will be my take and the under. Next game, Titans at the Commanders. Commanders, playing 500 ball lately. 5.5-point favorites, over under 44.5. This is a really interesting game.
Yeah, real interesting, especially for the Titans. You know, shocked the Texans last week. Really put up some points. You know, 32 points from the Titans was a surprise. The Commanders made the heroic comeback, but then missed the extra point. The whole fiasco at the end of that game we covered on the last pod. Three straight losses for this team after they were, you know, really sitting pretty on top, you know, top of the AFC, or I'm sorry, the NFC East. This is a win that they got to have. Pretty big spread, but I think they come out with something here in Washington, and I'll take the Commanders -5.5.
Commanders -5.5. Yeah, I think just the Titans, like, just showing any sign of life. They don't really got to get victories here. They just got to show improvement. Commanders, on the other hand, they definitely need to bounce back. Has some tough matches there. So I got Commanders. I'll go with the money line on this one. Actually, you're taking the Titans with the points?
No, Commanders, -5.5.
I may take the Titans on the with the 5.5 points on this one, actually. Commanders win, though. Steelers at the Bengals. Bengals are favorites by 3 by a field goal, 47.5. Every game is a must win for the Bengals. They have to win out. I think they have room for maybe one more loss. That's about it. Steelers have to have a win here to kind of keep pace. I kind of have them going 500 the rest of the way. This is one of those games where they have to split. Bengals took the first one, right? No, they haven't played yet.
No, yeah, they haven't played yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got them this week and then the season finale. Great. Yeah, looking at the standings right now, obviously the Steelers sitting on top of the AFC North. They're in competition with Buffalo and Kansas City for that first round bye. You know, the Steelers, just defense all year. I think they still have the least amount of points scored against them in the NFL. But then you got a Bengals offense that has just been on, you know, an absolute tear when you look at Burrow and Chase and pretty much the top of every offensive category. So I think it's going to be a test of the two strengths right now. Who's going to get the most out of it? The Bengals got a lot more to play for in this one. I was trying to see, it was earlier in the year where the Bengals hadn't, you know, had one at home. They're 0-4. I think they're 1-4 now. I let the Bengals here -3 against your Steelers, Rome.
That's all right.
It's probably a good thing for your Steelers. You know, I generally am the wrong way on this.
Yeah, you're mentioning the point differential. They've only allowed 186 points in the year, which is like 100 less than everyone else in the division. They've scored actually not too much, only 40 points less than the Bengals. That makes no sense for the year. Am I missing something, or is this graph missing something?
I mean, Steelers have scored 233 points. The Bengals scored 297. So you're looking more like 64 point difference.
I got 252 on this one.
For who, the Steelers?
Yeah, that makes no sense. So yeah, maybe this one's off. I don't know. I'm going to be sweating bullets on this one. This is a game I don't feel comfortable with. I'm rooting for my Steelers. I'm a Joe Burrow fan, so this sucks. This sucks. This is why you don't have. This is why you don't root for quarterbacks in your division. Lesson learned, kids. Take that with a grain of salt or whatever. Cardinals at the Vikings. Vikings 3.5 point favorites. Aaron's number 3 best NFC team. You know what? I'm done rooting for Kyler Murray. I got his name right this time.
There you go.
Got it right. You know, every time I was never a fan of his anyways. I kind of got suckered in this year. Just like the way they were performing, him breaking out these big plays. Whatever. They looked like shit last week, and I'm done putting earmuffs, baby. I'm done putting the eggs in that basket. I got Minnesota covering comfortably and getting a victory here.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Line opened at 4.5, down to -3.5. I'd take the Vikings -3.5. Jalen Johnson of the Bears last week really locked down Justin Jefferson. They didn't let him do anything. I think he had one catch for like 7 yards or something like that. The Cardinals defense, which was not great the start of the year, they've really kind of turned it around since that Bears game that I had to miserably watch in Arizona. Dude.
What happened to that team, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, so the Cardinals defense has stepped up a little bit, but what the Vikings found, and definitely against a good Bears defense, was like, hey, you know, Jordan Addison, and you know, they found potentially some running game stuff with Aaron Jones. Like, there's other offensive weapons that the Vikings do have to spread the ball around. But I think you see a bounce back game for Justin Jefferson against this Cardinals secondary at the same time too this week. So I agree with you, Vikings pretty comfortably.
I agree. I see someone's getting tired right here. That's what we get for doing a pod so late.
And then the Vikings got, you know, they got Daniel Jones just waiting in the wings too. So,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've been meaning to talk about that. What do you think about that signing? Like, he had interest for the Raiders. He had interest, can't remember who else, but he just strictly wanted to go to a playoff team.
Now he's like, wanted to go to a playoff team, and you're one injury away from getting playoff time. I'm pretty sure I saw stuff like even when after he was released that O'Connell and Jones had some sort of link, and you know, I think O'Connell maybe liked Jones coming out of the draft or something like that. So, I mean, for the most part, the Vikings are the rehabilitation of New York quarterbacks that went wrong that over there between what they got in Darnold and now Daniel Jones. But I mean, it's a great depth piece. You know, JJ McCarthy's not going to play, and if something, you know, were to go wrong, it's the NFL. People can get hurt any week. And I think it's a good insurance policy for the Vikings. And, you know, for all of Daniel Jones's, you know, poor winning percentage and anything you get to critique of his poor performance, he has a lot of elements, especially with his legs in the running game. And, you know, who knows what he could do if you're able to give him some, you know, the weapons that the Vikings have. You know, Justin Jefferson makes a lot of quarterbacks look good.
He did show flashes, but yeah. I like McShay's evaluation of Jones when he was coming out of college. It's been making his rounds on social, like, oh, you know, like, I'm just disappointed that the Giants picked him up, but he's definitely like a backup quarterback, just not a starting quarterback. And that's what it kind of looks like. But yep. Yeah, we'll see how it turns out, though. Good for him. Who would have thought? Next game, Chargers. 1-point favorites at Atlanta. Atlanta's kind of reeling a little bit. I kind of hope they reel a little bit more because I like the Bucs to win that division. At least I'm rooting for them. Over under 47.5.
Yeah. Falcons reeling right now. This to me, I looked at the game. This is an easy pick for me. I like the Chargers in this game, -1.5. The Falcons been disappointing really all year. They should have ran away with this division. They've lost two straight. They lose this week. It's going to be three straight, allowing, you know, Baker and your Bucks. I guess this is one of your five favorite teams or whatever. So, but, you know, allowing them back in this division race because they look, you know, great against a bad Giants team. But the Falcons should have ran away with this thing. They gave them every opportunity. The Chargers, after a tough loss here over the Ravens last week, I know they got to fly cross country, but yeah, I think Harbaugh is going to have this team prepared. And the Falcons have just been so up and down. For all the talent they have, they haven't been able to maximize it at all this season.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised, though, if the Falcons come out shooting in this game. But you're right. They've had a chance to run away. And now that the Bucs are getting healthy again, they're going to be getting some more guys back this week and the following week. Not a good sign. So this is a kind of a pick 'em, obviously, from the Lions. I can see the Chargers coming out. I can see Kirk Cousins, you know, having a shootout in this one, too. So.
I mean, it could. I mean, they got blown out against, you know, the Broncos last week. Tough loss against New Orleans. That should have been an easy win for them. So that's, you know, those two losses in a row. But the New Orleans game, they definitely should have had. The Broncos have obviously been on the rise. And it's a shame for them because they beat the Bucs twice already this season. So they took care of
and shootouts, yeah.
Yeah, within the division, but they only got a one-game lead night on the Bucs for the division because they haven't been able to get it done in other parts of their schedule. So, you know, the blown out, they got kind of blown out versus Seattle, blown out versus the Broncos. They've given up some big stuff this year.
I'm going to lean towards a possible Falcons victory here.
Okay.
Maybe right the snap. Next game, Colts at the Patriots. -2.5-point favorites for the Colts, over under 42.5. The Colts defense is pretty good. They're going to swarm. What's his name? Jeez, I'm just trying to blank again.
You wanted to say Mac Jones.
I did, actually.
But it's Drake May.
Drake May. I don't know. Him and Kyler Murphy. Or
Kyle Murphy, right?
God damn it. Those two, they just like trip me up, man. I just don't understand why. I think Colts get a victory here.
Yeah, I
got them in the points.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna agree with you on that. The Colts have been an interesting team all year. They've gotten, you know, they got blown out last week, but you know, tough win against the, you know, Jets. They kept it close with the Dolphins, and you know, the win against your Steelers is probably their signature win, you know, so far this year. They beat up some better teams or some bad teams in their other wins, but I think they beat up another bad team in this with the Patriots. The Patriots have been a rough watch some weeks, but they've gotten a little bit better offensively with Drake May, but you know, got blown out last week against the Dolphins. I think you see a little bit of Anthony Richardson this week, really, you know, with his legs and potentially a big throws with his arm.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Drake May, though. I will actually watch this game because I do like Drake May. It's kind of fascinating to see how well he's doing in that shit show of a mess. Bucks at Panthers. Bucks 5.5-point favorites, over under 46.5. In the afternoon, it's the first afternoon game. I got the Bucks in this one. I'm not sure they cover, though. I think, well, Carolina just had one good game. I'm not going to jump on that bandwagon yet.
I mean, I would say they've had three good games in a row because they won the Saints, or they won the game for the Saints. They won the Giants the week after, and then, you know, they kept it close against the Chiefs to cover. That's true. But this Tampa Bay offense, man, they've been able to get up and down the field, but they also give up a lot of points, too.
They do.
So it's a tough call with it, but I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to take Tampa Bay with the points too. I just think Baker's able to really do something with his offense. And I don't know if Bryce can keep up in this game.
Yeah, if anything, I always like, you know, at least May to get 2 touchdowns passing, maybe a rushing as well. So we'll see. Rams at the Saints. Rams 2.5-point favorites, over under 49.5, a little higher than every other game.
I mean, the Rams have really taken a step back here recently. You know, I think they were expected to potentially go on a little bit of a run when they had that 3-game winning streak in the middle of the season. But, you know, pretty bad loss to the Dolphins that I don't think many people were expecting. Didn't look even remotely like a playoff team against the Eagles this last week. Had the win of the Patriots in between, but it wasn't like overly impressive against a bottom tier Patriots team. This is a game the Rams should win. I'm going to take the Rams -2.5. I think they'll right the ship. I think they, you know, McVay generally comes out and wins the games he's supposed to win. So I'll take the Rams in this one.
You got the Rams?
Yep.
Nice. Back to this one. I don't know. I have to see how Carr's been doing lately. That's going to deserve a second look. I don't know if I'll watch that game, to be honest with you. I just can't stand watching the Saints play.
Well, they've won, you know, the Saints have won, you know, their last two versus Atlanta and then versus Cleveland. So, I mean, they've been on, you know, they've been on their best run since their first two games of the season with a bunch of losses sandwiched in between.
Eagles at the Ravens. Is this game of the week? It's definitely one of them, at least.
I think it's game of the week, yeah.
Ravens 3-point favorites. 2 Super Bowl contenders, heavyweights, 50.5 over under. I hope it's a shootout because these games usually are either like a lot of pressure. They can't get the ball moving. Maybe the Ravens get away from their run pass game. You know, run first, pass second. Eagles, Saquon, I think he should be strongly considered for the MVP. It'd be kind of nice to see not a quarterback win it, but I know it's tough competition there. Oh man.
Yeah. I'm agreeing on Saquon. I know we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, you know, from the MVP voting and him being on kind of the lower part of that tier, but definitely has been, you know, we talk about value at the position, what he's been able to do to really let Jalen Hurts give him more time and, you know, make the defenses get a second look because how dynamic the running game is. But on the flip side, what Derrick Henry is able to provide a little bit from the Ravens running game. So, you know, two big running back additions in the offseason. I know we've talked about in previous pods. The Ravens, I don't want to say they need the game more because I think the Eagles are fighting for that, you know, number one overall seed in the NFC versus the Lions. But, you know, the Ravens are still behind. One loss in the division with Pittsburgh. You still got another game with Pittsburgh left on the calendar. So really, you know, 2 or 3 strong games left that the Ravens got in the schedule because they still got the Pittsburgh game and then they got a Houston team. And then obviously a strong interdivision rival with Cleveland. I think Baltimore really needs this game. I think it's going to be a shootout, like you said. The points...
You know, man. What, just kind of looking at their defense and stuff like that, the Ravens' pass defense is still pretty porous. And I think the Eagles are still a pretty big threat in the air. So I'm actually going to go with the Eagles.
Okay.
I'll take the points just in case.
Points.
Who you got in that one?
I'll take the Ravens. Man... 3's a lot. It's going to be a close game, but I'll stick with the Ravens -3.
Before we go to the next game, though, an interesting tweet just popped up. Let me pull it up real quick. This is from Adam Schefter on X. The irony with the Daniel Jones signing is that he led the Giants to a 31-24 win over the Vikings in January last year, 2023, the wild card game. I think we all remember that game, in which he completed 24 of 35 passes for 301 yards, 2 touchdowns, and ran 17 times for 78 yards. That was a big win in contributing to him signing that larger contract in the offseason, and now he's with Minnesota, the team that he beat up on. Quite funny.
Yeah, you said that just came in from Schefter?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, Giants are just bad, man. It's funny, like, I think we talked about this on the last pod, but just we're between the Jets and the Giants, how bad they have been for like the last 7-8 years or something like that at this point.
Yeah. I meant to look it up. I just haven't had a chance yet. I just found that tweet kind of interesting. Back to the lines, though. We go Sunday night football. 49ers at the Buffalo Bills. Man, this got to be game number 2 of the week.
It would have been a bigger deal if the Niners, who they were supposed to be this year, but at 5-6, they're just, you know, they're just trying to get by. A lot of injuries. You got Fred Warner apparently playing with a fractured ankle.
I saw that today.
You had Purdy out last week. Obviously, they lost Ayuk. Trent Williams didn't play. Bosa didn't play. Neither of those guys practice today. So, obviously, they're still questionable for this week.
Yikes.
Purdy was at least a limited participant in practice. So, I don't know. Another one of those West to East games that the Niners got to fly all the way to Orchard Park. Probably going to be, I check the weather right now, but it's got to be cold in Buffalo right now for a Sunday night game.
Yeah, if this was, assuming that the 49ers, well, because it's basically the same team for the last two years, it's just injuries and whatever. Shanahan's trying to catch some flack. Apparently, I'm not the only one that's been putting him in the hot seat. Now, people are upset that other people are putting him in the hot seat. I love the Discord on X and on other talk shows now. But if that Niner team was to show up all of a sudden, right, because we've been kind of giving them that benefit of the doubt, if that team showed up, I would pick them in an upset. The Bills are kind of due for like a little sloppy game. They usually have one or two at home. They haven't had one in a while. 7 points is a lot. But if it's the 49ers that have been playing the way they have been so far, and you mentioned it is cold, it's not like you're going to have Kaepernick sleeveless in the snow like in Green Bay. You know, that was a big old mental win. They don't have that. I'm going to have to go with the Bills, but this is a must win for the Niners.
Absolutely is. I mean, today we're us recording on a Wednesday. I don't think I'm confident enough to really... the Bills would win this game, so I'll pick the Bills as the pick there. If I'm going at the spread to make a pick, I don't think you can make a call on this until you realize who's playing for the Niners.
Yeah, so it's a little too early.
This is going to be a Sunday morning, probably, you know, look ahead as you see, you know, does Bosa play? Does Trent Williams play? More importantly, does Brock Purdy play? I think that'll be whether they were going to be able to within that those 7 points. I'm sure the line probably moves at that point too, but the Bills have, you know, they've been undefeated at home. They have a great home field advantage out there. You know, big win over the Chiefs last week. You know, beat the Colts by 10, beat the Seahawks earlier in Seattle by a significant margin as well too. So, you know, they've been able to cover some big spreads so far this year. You know, especially at home. But yeah, I think it's a Bills win. Definitely really needed for the Niners, but I don't think you're picking against the spread until Sunday.
Yeah, it's too close a call. Last game, Monday night, the Cleveland Browns visiting the Denver Broncos. Broncos are 5.5-point favorites. Interesting. I would have figured this would be like more like 3.5. Is Vegas trying to buy on the Broncos over under 41.5?
I mean, it could be, but you look at last two games, Broncos offense really starting to click here. Potentially could be the best offense in that division right now, since Kansas City hasn't, you know, really shown much offensively this year. And the Chargers have been, you know, they've been consistent on offense, but they're not been blowing anyone out, you know. 29 points against the Raiders last week, 38 points against the Falcons the week prior offensively for Bo Nix. Really finding Courtland Sutton, finding that, you know, finding that number one receiver chemistry with the starting quarterback that has kind of been hit or miss. I know there was a big, a big game earlier in the year where Cortland Sutton didn't get any catches. I think it was on a Thursday night game or something like that that we reviewed. So, I mean, as good as Jameis has been, I think as much as we love the Jameis pep talks post pregame, postgame interviews and stuff, it's tough not like to like the Broncos in this game and where they've been offensively. I say in the spirit of Aaron and his love for Sean Payton and what we can do here, I think you take the Broncos -5.5.
Yeah, because Aaron likes the Broncos so much, that's why I'm going against it. I hope it's not like one hot game, one cold game. That's James has only played 3 games, but that's exactly what it's been. It is a way. It's not going to be in the snow. It's going to be ramped up. How cold is it going to be in Denver, though? It's starting to get cold now. It's winter all over in the NFL.
It is winter. 40s? This is Monday night game. It's a high of 52 on Monday. So
that's not bad. That's nice, actually. That's really good weather.
By the time you get to game time, though, at 8 o'clock, it's probably going to be in the 40s. So
yeah. I jogged naked in the 40s. That's easy.
Yep.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm freezing over here in the 50s, low 50s. I could totally see the Broncos taking it away, but I don't know. If that Cleveland Browns against the Steelers shows up, I gave him a boxer's chance. Over under is kind of interesting. 41.5. That's like right at the line. That's tough. That's 20 points apiece. That's kind of what I figured this game might be. It's going to be ugly.
I mean, no precipitation in the air, in the Mile High. Broncos offense been clicking. It could be an overplay.
Yeah. That'd be like a nice Monday morning decision, I guess. I'm leaning on the Browns on the upset. No points.
This is just a purely pick against Aaron.
Purely, yeah. All right. So he's not here. I'm gonna go double.
We were talking crap about the Packers, just picking against him. You know, it's what he gets for not showing up.
Amelia, you don't want to tell him who your favorite team is? What colors are they?
You just wanted to say black and yellow. You think you did, Wiz Khalifa? She's gonna bust in the song right now.
I want to, but nothing right now. I think she's dead tired, dude. So it's late.
Been
she
a
was
long
checked
day.
Out an hour ago.
100%.
100%. Yeah. Cool. We'll see how we do though. We'll see if Aaron sends us his lines or his picks over the weekend. We'll definitely record on Monday. I'll get this out. I'll try to get this out within an hour. It's going to be very little editing getting done on this one.
One big edit in the middle.
Yeah, that's about it. Whoever's listening, hope you have a safe Thanksgiving, a fun Thanksgiving with friends or family or loved ones or all three if they are the same people. Jason, any big plans?
No big plans, man. It's getting in the holiday spirit and start putting out the Christmas decor this weekend.
Yeah, I'm busting that out. We're going to go get a tree maybe, right, Amelia, on Friday? She's pretty pumped about that. Maybe a new Barbie. I go to Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know if we have enough time for that.
I don't know.
That's a quote from it's not a direct quote, but Old School. I love that movie. Old School. Frank the Tank. That's me. That's Frank the Tank sometimes.
Frank the Tank. All right.
Cool, man. This was a good one.
Didn't talk college.
We didn't talk college, and we still managed to get like an hour in. Imagine that. I don't know how that happened. Do you have any quick takes for college? Besides like the playoff – the new rankings came out, and there's like some discord about that.
Yeah, I mean,
Arizona State has like an inside track now.
I mean, it just can they
Clemson
win?
Clemson might be in there.
Yeah, probably game of the week. You got Clemson, South Carolina. So I know Aaron was talking about kind of the South Carolina fringe chance of getting in the SEC. At as a 9-3 team if they were to win, but Clemson, Clemson's gonna be the outside shot too. Clemson's technically in right now. Indiana's technically in right now too.
Yep,
sliding them at number 10, and that's what we were talking about. So, but I think Clemson, South Carolina, probably game of the week. You obviously got Notre Dame, USC. Notre Dame should win, but USC can end their playoff chances.
They can. I even heard some stuff earlier today on the drive that there's a good chance the ACC can get two guys in, but that means the SEC would only get three guys in the playoffs. So they're kind of breaking down how that would happen. I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, I could definitely see that.
It's possible. Yeah, definitely, because it depends which. I mean, I guess there's a couple different paths. Clemson probably has to win out.
Yeah.
Would be, let's say, it is Clemson's path, and then the loser maybe of the ACC championship game. I think
they're going to do away with conference championships in, like, what, 5 years? At least 10 years.
The game, the conference championship game itself?
I think it all changes within 10 years, yeah. I think it's just like a... I don't know how it would look like. This is definitely more of like a pro setup now. Where's the college experience at? You know, like these guys are.
That's over with, man.
It's over. It's done.
Over with. I think there'll be a change. Conference championship games, I think, is my least favorite thing that they do at this point, because it's at 12 teams. I think it punishes a team potentially losing in the conference title game and not getting in the playoff for a team that doesn't play. And so it's not like this is a play-in game to the conference championship of having to be like the 1 and 2 seed, like jumping from a 14 playoff to a 12 team playoff. Like the in-between could have been like, if they would only done an eight team playoff or something like that, like, hey, the conference championship game really is the play-in game to the tournament. You win your conference, you're in, and there's no other kind of opportunity. But the conferences are so big, you want multiple teams and
they skip all that type of stuff. Part.
So, yeah, I don't
they
know.
They skipped it.
I think you don't get rid of the conference title game because they're sponsored by somebody. So there's money involved in wanting to have that stuff, but they don't really punish a bunch of teams for losing in a conference championship game either.
Then why not just have the conference championship be a part of the playoff?
It's a great point. But when you don't have Notre Dame in a conference, or you start including, non-power fives in the conference, it's different too.
Yeah. Amelia, what's up? You're shy? She's shy.
She said, all stop right. talking. It's bedtime.
Is it bedtime? No. What time is it? Playtime? Dad's exhausted. And I got some deviled eggs chilling right there. I got to finish that up. I'm doing a play on a deviled egg with some poached shrimp with creme fraiche, chives, espalette, horseradish, little tomato ran through like a mesh.
That's a lot of the deviled eggs.
Yeah, it's going to be, I hope it, I had like this idea, like it's going to be like a surf and turf kind of deal, but we'll see how it turns out.
All right.
Me doing that private event at that rich house in Atherton got me thinking, like, oh man, I really miss cooking.
Got the creative juices flowing.
Yeah. Like I have time to cook anymore. Ate a frozen pizza today. That was the first time I've done that in years. It was good though, huh?
I mean, when you're spending 16 hours on the road, man, got to do what you got to do.
I couldn't think, dude. Even like looking at Uber, I'm like, I don't have the patience for this right now.
That's hilarious.
It was good. By the way, Safeway, Rising Crust, highly recommend it. We got the pepperoni. Pepperoni was a little spicy for my daughter, but it was still pretty good. So. It wasn't spicy, my bad.
Wasn't spicy. All right.
But she did try dipping in a ranch today, so that was like a good plus. It's yummy. It definitely is yummy. Yeah.
Not a fan of ranch, but I'll take your word for it.
I been trying to find like the best ranch out there that kind of resembles like that like that fast food diner type of like watery salty ranch, and I found this. It's obviously not the same thing. You have to go to like a food warehouse where they sell like it's like a 5 gallon jug for like $10.
Hmm.
And I want to do it, but I'd rather just find some friends to split it with.
Makes sense.
Jug of salty ranch, but Lighthouse has a really good herb forward but like slightly salty ranch that kind of resembles like that cheap fast food dive ranch, but it's so much better, but it's really good. So I've been dipping everything in that ranch.
There you have it.
Might do a ranch coffee, see if it gets me a sponsorship. like mayo. Anyways, cool, man. Cool. It was good chatting. Have a safe holiday, and yeah, we'll talk soon.
See you Monday.
All right, man. Peace.